org. Coming up, you'll hear about the latest children's opera from Prairie Fire Theater and the IWU School of Music. But first, New Root Theater and the Prairie Pride Coalition. They're presenting four staged readings for the second annual Voices of Pride Festival, Festival of New Plays. The performances begin tomorrow at the Chateau Hotel and Conference Center in Bloomington. In the studio to talk about the selections are New Root Theater's artistic director Don Shandro and Joe McDonald, who directs one of the readings and is in another. Thanks to both of you for joining us on Sound Ideas today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we get to the four plays in this year's Voices of Pride Fest, tell me about New Root Theater, Don.
Well, New Root Theater was formed in 2010. And it was based on the idea that when you went to any of the theaters in town, you typically saw the same kind of an audience. You see the same demographic, the same age. And the question that I asked is, how can you create an audience that reflects the diversity of the community? And really, it is a matter of surrounding yourself with people who do reflect that diversity and coming up with ideas and programs that reach out to all of the demographics. To break down silos is really what New Root Theater is all about.
And just because these plays have gay characters in them, you're just trying to add to the diversity. It's not for an exclusively gay audience.
No, not at all. Yeah. In fact, the purpose and the point of New Root Theater is to create an audience that reflects the diversity of the community. So that audience comes and hears stories that they may not necessarily hear other places.
What goes into selecting those kinds of plays for a stage reading or for this particular festival?
Well, first of all, we put out for submissions, and then when those submissions come in, we have a reading process that we go through, and then we cull that down to 8-10 scripts that we're looking at, and then we put together a season that's based on those scripts that we've narrowed it down to.
Are you just looking at the best plays, or are you looking for something else?
We're looking for something. We're looking really to create an experience for the audience. So there may be some plays that we say, you know what, we'd like to do this play, but you know, we'll set it aside. Maybe we'll look at it next year.
And Joe, when did you get involved?
Really?
Did you help look at any of the plays? Or
I did.
Any of those?
I was a reader, which I think started around late February. The plays were sent to us. And then somewhere in March, I guess, Don asked me if I would direct. And then somewhere in April, it was, you should be in one. It keeps growing.
So you're directing and you're in one. We'll talk about that in just a moment. A Perfect Fit is the first staged reading. A college sophomore is questioning her sexuality. At the same time, the young woman's mother is also beginning to wonder about her sexuality. Do the two help each other out in this experience that they're going through, these two characters?
Help out. I would say they grow with each other. They grow in their relationship with each other through the experiences that they have. There's no pat answers that are given in the script. So it's the season that we have is based on surprises. There's going to be some surprises that you're going to see in all of the shows.
The surprise is obvious in A Perfect Fit.
You'll find
the audience will find it.
You'll find it because there's no pat answers in it. The whole season, if you wanted to narrow it down to a theme, is expectations versus reality, and I think that's something that kind of ties all of the plays together.
You direct one of the plays, his and her, or his slash her escapades. What's the difference between directing a stage reading and an actual staged play? What are the nuances or things you have to pay attention to in a staged reading that you don't have to pay attention to in an actual play?
Well, you're concerned about the language, and you're concerned about conveying that language to the audience so that the audience hears the story, and they take that story with them, and this is a difficult question to answer.
Maybe I could jump in.
Go ahead and do that. Thanks, Joe. That's why you're here.
Yes.
And Joe, you're directing A Beautiful Building.
No, I'm in A Beautiful Building. I'm directing Postcoital Variations.
Sorry, that's correct.
That's all right.
Tell me about directing
postcoital variations?
Well, I think that the main thing that is important to realize is that when you're doing a reading is that you have a very minimum of rehearsal. Mm. And that's partially because all the actors are working for free, they have lives, but it's also because the plays are not really considered finished. The playwrights are actually looking to hear and see their plays in a very rudimentary way to find out how the flow goes, to find out where changes.
Is it working?
It is. And that is what it's all about. And what's nice for the audience is they're getting a peek behind the curtain in the process, which you'd never get when you go to a completed production.
I meant the playwrights
interested
in knowing if it's working.
Right.
Yeah. Not only are they getting a peek behind the curtain, they're getting to give their own viewpoints and their own thoughts about the play with the playwrights there. So it's a chance for the playwrights to interact with an audience.
So the playwrights are coming to the community to watch these readings?
All but one.
All but one. And will they get a recording of it or a video recording of some sort?
We'll have something for them. But the thing is, for them, it's not necessarily the recording. It is the experience at that moment. And I've written plays before, and it's watching the audience. It's seeing how the audience reacts.
How many rehearsals?
It varies. For a beautiful building, we're actually only having two.
Mm.
And Don is actually directing that one as well, by the way. Just wanted to point that out. But I think for the one that I'm directing, I think I will have managed to get five altogether. But my actors have sort of continued to change throughout the process, so it doesn't feel like that many. It's a fun process because it forces the actors also to just bring their best game.
And they have the scripts in front of them. Is that good or bad? I mean, it saves them from memorizing, but then they're sort of tied to that script.
Correct. The good part is that if somebody gets lost, you can find it.
Yeah.
But the bad part is that it allows an actor to get into a cadence of like they're reading off a page. It makes it harder to be really, really natural and to find the moments. The actors have to find that nice balance between using their script and then looking up and making contact with each other. Using their eyes. So that is a tricky little thing, but fun.
So new visions of acceptable and a new definition of normal are a couple of descriptions of postcoital variations. Joe, you're directing this one. What's going on in this play?
It's a play that starts out based around a thruple, two men and a woman who are in a relationship together, and then also the people around them. They have other friends that are involved, and they all become... I refer to it as a modern-day Love American style. There's scene after scene where people end up in different combinations, and they're all learning about themselves in relation to one another.
I wasn't allowed to watch Love American style.
Now's your chance.
I remember seeing it on TV, but my parents said, you know, it's time to go to bed, Mike. So this one sounds like it might be for a mature audience. What about the rest, or is it?
But there's nothing untoward happening. Mm-hmm. There's very little. There's a little bit of a language, I suppose, and of course an indication of situations. But because it's post-coital, it's always the two people sitting next to each other afterward,
okay,
talking about the relationship. They don't really talk about the sex, and you don't see the sex, and you know.
PG-13 for all of
us. Oh, sure.
I would say so.
A Beautiful Building. Joe mentioned this. You're directing that. That's just a cast of two.
Mm-hmm.
That's you and an actor and Joe. Joe, you're one of them. Don, tell me about this play.
It's a relationship between two men who one is a priest and one is an actor. And The Beautiful Building is the church and the theater. And it's that coming together of the two. It's a really very beautiful script, and it's a beautiful script based on the relationship between these two men and how it grows and how it expands and how they finally eventually do come together.
And the metaphor is also the beautiful building that you create in a relationship.
Just two actors in this one. Does that present additional challenges? Just two people have to carry this one.
In some ways, it's a lot easier. With his escapades, I'm dealing with six actors on stage in a wild, really wild, madcap comedy that is about this woman who is a gay magnate who wants a relationship but surrounds herself with gay men. And it's a very fun script, very energetic. And I've had to have, you asked about the number of rehearsals. Well, I've had to have I told the actors we would have 8 rehearsals, and I got a note from one of the actors saying, "I thought you said we were going to have only eight rehearsals." And
so, it's as many rehearsals as needed.
That's right? That was basically it.
So Don says it's easier. Joe, is it easier as just one of the other actors in a reading?
In our situation, I think it is, because I think Don will admit he was pleased to see when we had our first rehearsal just the other day that we actually had a natural rapport with one another, and we seemed to be able to click. If that hadn't been, it would have been considerably harder. Or I think if either one of us were not competent enough on stage, then it would be more difficult because you can't spread that out amongst other people.
Joe and Everson are just incredibly good actors.
So you talked about how important this was to the playwrights of these four plays. They'll be able to get some instant feedback, see if whether or not their script is working. What about in terms of exposure? For these playwrights, just having it performed one more time, does that help them in their career?
I think it does. I think that any time they get a chance to see their work performed, it's an opportunity for them to grow the material. And if they can grow the material, then they have other opportunities with it. There was a script that we did last year that took place every 8 years during the presidential election cycles. And it was a really very beautiful play. And all of a sudden we're saying, you know, with this new administration, with this election that just passed, it would be great to end the play with this election. And so the playwright has been asked to write that final scene. Dwayne is going to be shopping that around.
Lots of opportunities to see these readings. I wouldn't call the schedule complex, but there are a lot of opportunities. Where can someone see the schedule of all of the readings?
It's going to be on our Facebook page.
That's Facebook. Just search New Root Theater.
New Route Theater, however you want to. Just spell it right, that's all. New Route Theater. Look for our Facebook page. You'll find a schedule there. Like us there. You can buy tickets at the Garlic Press. Tickets are available there. Tickets will be available at the door as well. We're going to be doing that doing this at the Chateau.
And the first reading's tomorrow night.
It's tomorrow night.
Correct? Don Shandro is New Root Theater Artistic Director. Joe McDonald is directing one play and appearing in another. Thanks to both of you for appearing on Sound Ideas. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
New Root Theater Voices of Pride Festival, featuring the readings of 4 different plays, starts tomorrow night with a perfect fit at 7:30. And eventually you'll find a complete schedule of those plays at our website, wglt.org.